listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Now, here's your host, Edward Fowler.
Welcome back to my show this week, where we've got another new episode for you from last Thursday, where I had on a great singer/songwriter called Emmy Latinia. She is originally from America, but then she decided to live down under in New Zealand, and so we talk all about her life in New Zealand, to her music, to her favorite venues, and even so much more. You may even need a tissue on this one. But here is my full interview with Emmy Lentinio right now on my show. To have on this great singer/songwriter who is joining my show, and I do appreciate as well, before we get going, your lovely response. So it's not often I get potential guests saying about how much they enjoyed other interviews I conducted on this show, so it's quite nice to receive a nice compliment as well. So thank you for tuning in to that particular episode you saw, with I sent you one of the samples off of my work with I think it was Jessica Lynn, I believe it was a great country singer who I had on the show back in August of 2023. But no, please welcome on right now, Emmy Lentinio. How are you?
I'm great, Edward. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I do appreciate you for accepting to be on the show this evening. And to prove that this is a live show, we do have a live comment from Brad. Thank you for tuning in, Brad. And he says, "Hey, Emmy," with a smiley face.
Hello, Brad. Oh, my goodness. It's so great that you can join us this evening. I know Brad is a lovely listener of my music and a great man of faith. And it's great that he's taking time out of his busy schedule to, he's on the East Coast, and he said, "I'll join if I don't have a meeting right at that time." So I was like, wow, yay!
Well, I know you, of course, are from the US, but you've moved to New Zealand, haven't you? And I want to know, was the transition moving from the US to New Zealand difficult for you at first, or did you find the transition quite easy, and how are things over there in New Zealand? If you're there in a moment, you might be not there in a moment, but obviously when you go back over there, how is life in New Zealand?
Yeah, thank you. So I am currently living in New Zealand, and I'm here now. That's where I'm based. I love New Zealand. It is a beautiful country, and I feel really, really blessed that this is where God has placed me, with you know, not necessarily family from you know, my childhood, but family that I've been able to create with friends, and then my own children. So it's very special. But to answer your question, the transition moving from New York City, which is where I was, to the hustle and bustle of, you know, the entertainment industry there, and you know, busy life, to moving to a farm, a sheep farm in New Zealand, that is pretty extremely different from one another. So I would say I'm one of those people, I'm a great adventurer, I always have been, and I love challenges. And so for me, probably initially, you know, even though it was probably quite different and difficult, I kind of just focused on, you know, the adventure of it. And I think it was later, probably about 7 years later, that I really kind of found myself adjusting. And I don't know if that ever happens to anyone else, but you kind of plunge in and you sort of don't really pay attention to as much differences. But I think when I was maybe older and more mature, and I was raising children, I think I was like, oh, this is quite different. And I really missed my mom and dad at that point too, to be able to, you know, share in that joy of having kids. But yeah, I think it's like anything, you know, life is an adventure, and I think positive perspectives and being really brave and resilient certainly helps. It doesn't always make everything easy, but that's life, right? Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully that's answered your question.
No. Thank you. It's a great answer. And, you know, it's great to see, to have somebody on from New Zealand on this show, because you are making history by being the first New Zealander, I guess, now you're a New Zealander, to be on the show. So you're making history. Yes, because the only person I've had on from that far from the world is an Australian called Teo Witchy, who now actually lives in America. So
oh my goodness.
So it's quite funny how I get to do a full 360 now, where I've got somebody who's from America now living in New Zealand. It's quite good. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's, I always say I'm an American in Kiwi land, and I am now also a citizen as well, which is, you know, really, really exciting. And, you know, I know that that's something that's quite cool, and not everybody gets a chance to do that. So I know that I'm really quite blessed to have that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite encouraged on your citizenship of being a part of the New Zealander culture. And what was one of the driving points for you to be like, yep, this is a place I would love to be a part of, and to be a part of their culture? Because I guess some was there any cultures you got into straight away when you moved over there?
I think, yeah, I mean, initially it was, you know, there was I did this actually a few months ago. I had an opportunity to entertain some people about, you know, just life and the differences between our two countries. But yeah. I think initially it was probably that a lot of the phrasings, and, you know, things mean one thing to me, and coming from, you know, I was a kid growing up in Oregon, and then I'd say that here in New Zealand, and it was, you know, met with a lot of confusion. And also on the other side, when people would say something to me, I would, you know, I would kind of question them, like, well, what exactly does that mean? So there was a lot of like funny little nuances of just, you know, speaking English, but having completely different interpretations. So that was funny. But I think to answer your question about becoming a citizen, it was really, really important to me. Both my children were born here in New Zealand, had New Zealand passports, as well as I also applied for American passports for them. And I really wanted to have that connection with the country that I was living in, the beautiful people that I've met here, and, you know, not only to show that appreciation, but also to really feel like I was fully immersed in the place that I had chosen to live. So, yeah, and it was a process for sure, as with anything, right? Anyone that's applied for any sort of visa or anything, you really get an appreciation for how much of a privilege it is to be able to live somewhere else and work somewhere else. And so, yeah, I'm now a proud citizen of both America and New Zealand. And I remember actually someone took a photo of me at the ceremony when, you know, you're inducted into New Zealand Life. Yeah. And there was a photo of me with my hands up in the air, like I look like a cheerleader, because I was, and actually they had said, you know, make as much noise as you'd like when you hear your country, you know, the country that you represented, right? And I think I was the only American at that point in that ceremony. And I hooped and hollered like, and I think there was a little bit of silence afterwards that I was met with, that I'd like this, oh, she was really going for it.
We had another message from Brad as well to say that Emmy is one of my longtime friends from South Carolina.
Oh, wow. South Carolina. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's from...
That is so cool.
From Brad, of course, giving a shout-out to South Carolina. And I hope you like that. But I mean, you know, what a great story, you know. And, you know, it's quite good that you're now a dual citizen as well, because I bet there's not many people can say that as well. So kudos for being able to do that. And was there any things from, you know, your time living in America, of course, which you brought over to New Zealand, to any of your, you know, neighbours and whatever, which you thought was quite good for them to know about your culture from where you've come from, and maybe they've mixed it in with their culture now?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest, I'm so glad you asked that, because one of the biggest things that I think I was able to bring to the small town that we were living in at the time, so this is when I was on the farm.
Yeah.
I started a theater company for kids, and so I started teaching kids theater, music, and dance in our local area, and at the time there wasn't any programs for them, and a lot of it was volunteer, and some of it was for like a gold coin, a donation, And so it really allowed me to meet tons and tons of people in that community. One of the things that the parents said, yeah, it was really cool, and it still is one of the biggest highlights of coming to New Zealand, was the joy and the love that I experienced through these amazing, talented kids. I mean, they were so talented. Some of them have gone on to do big, big things, and they still write me messages, you know. At the time, I was going by Emily Ann, because that's my birth name, Emily Ann. And so, but Emmy is like my nickname. So they would say, oh, Emily Ann, you know, I loved your classes and I learned so much. But one of the things the parents said to me was, you know, your belief that anybody can do anything, and that kind of that dream becomes alive. They were like, is that an American thing? And I said, well, probably there's a lot of that, you know, that you can be anything that you dream you can be, and that that drive, that whatever the circumstances you're in doesn't determine your life. It you know, it can, and that, yes. So that was interesting. And then I said, well, probably also my mom and dad, just the way that they always were encouraging me and telling me to, you know, to try my best, but also to love other people and cheer them on. That kind of also was my inspiration. So when I moved to New Zealand, I feel like I carried those things within my heart, and I was able to teach the young people that I was around. And I didn't really think anything of it, except later on when, you know, their parents commented and they said, you know, little Johnny came home and he really is so excited to learn, and he was really shy, but now he feels like he can do anything. And, you know, it's actually teaching my husband and I that, you know, we need to be a lot more, what did she say? Something about we need to be more positive about, you know, what's coming.
Yeah.
And it was quite cool to hear that, because I hadn't really ever thought that my upbringing or what I had experienced as an American was really anything, you know, I didn't know that it was so special, I guess is what I'm saying, until I was in an environment where people were like, I feel like really hungry to know that, you know, that they really could do anything and they could be anyone. So I hope that's clear. All of these like memories are coming back to me now, you know. So it's quite nice. Cool.
And I've, as well, as you're talking about, and I'm always remember falling back to you, it's probably bringing like it's like yesterday when all these things, great things happened as well. So it's quite to that you get to re-miss with them again and bring like all the good memories so far of your journey.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
We have a message as well. Again, this is live, so you know this is completely live. But I sort of say, if you're a brand new listener or viewer to this, this is a unedited and unscripted show. And, you know, this is a very different style. I hope Emmy likes this kind of style of the show. But we do have a message from SL Fanpage, who says, great to see you with Edward, Emma, from Paul Hawkins in the UK with a waving
yes,
emoji.
Paul. Oh, Paul, hello. How are you, my friend? It's so great to hear from you. And thank you again for all of your love and support and encouragement for my music and for the message that I want to share. And Paul is an amazing individual. I actually met him just through, you know, Instagram, and we had a lot of connections in common. He's an amazing person that is also a friend of Shirley Lewis, who is an amazing artist and songwriter and performer with George Michael. She was one of his longest standing backing vocalists that toured around the world. And so we actually met through Shirley. So yeah, Paul's a great guy and Shirley's amazing. So love to you both and thank you for your support.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the reason why I reached out to you is because when I came across your music, I can't remember how it was now, it might have been through Facebook or Instagram, one or the other, and you know, I loved it, and that's why I reached out to you to you know, give you to my audience, who again, by the way, are probably a lot smaller compared to your fan base, so I really appreciate you coming onto my little small show, so I do appreciate your time and your support as well this evening, so I do appreciate that. And you know, I feel like it opens you up to my small audience, and vice versa, I guess.
Thank you. I was super surprised when you reached out. I was like, oh wow, this is really, really cool, and it meant a lot. And I think, you know, you do have, actually, you don't have a small audience. You've got a lot of people from all over that are excited to be a part of something that you share, because yes. I think that that's what's really cool, is that you're so engaging
yes.
with your listeners and people that subscribe. And I think that, especially after COVID, people are really hungry to belong and to be a part of something and to feel encouraged, and you do that. And I think that that's something that is really inspiring. So yeah, I'm thrilled that you invited me. I was like, woohoo, I'm doing this.
Yes, yes. Well, I appreciate that, and I hope you come back on for many more years to come as well. And you know, I said to all my guests that, and some take me up on it, and some for some you don't, and then don't hear from them ever again. For some reason, I don't know. Probably because they're so busy, probably. That's what I think is. I think it's because they're so busy, but who knows for that. But you know, you, of course, you've been around different places, and you know, what's been some of your, I guess, favorite places to perform music in front of? That makes sense.
Yeah. So when I moved to New Zealand, you know, I was really immersed in both New Zealand culture and Australian culture because at the time, and I guess I should probably mention this because it is a big part of my story. You did ask me, well, how did I end up in New Zealand? And the short form of that is that I was really good friends with an amazing entrepreneur and just a brilliant guy called Tony Lentino. And we had been friends since 2007. And we kept running into each other at these, you know, work conferences and whatnot. Anyway, and he said, you know, you should come out to Australia and do some work with me. This was back in 2007. And I did. And then a few years later, I was living in New York. And he said, you know, you should come out to New Zealand. It is a country of peace. And I said, oh, okay, you know. And I did. I was like, oh, the Lord of the Rings. That was all I knew about New Zealand. And I came, and it was everything that he had said that it was, you know, just, it was really the most gorgeous and lush green country and place I had ever been. And I think that, you know, this is definitely one of my highlights in terms of, yes, I have the privilege of living here, but it's just the most beautiful place. With the ocean has always spoken to me. Like, it's just always been a place that I felt God's love and I felt his peace. And so being able to be surrounded by the most gorgeous oceans, and the people are really nice, and it's really great. And then from there, I've been able to obviously go to Australia, and I performed twice at the Tamworth Country Music Festival. And that was a real highlight for me in terms of my music career, because before Tony passed away. So that's what happened, is that I was living in New Zealand. We got married, had children, and when they were really little, he got small cell lung cancer. And so that was devastating news, as with anyone that experiences that as a family and caring for someone that's so unwell. And then eventually he was called to be with God in heaven, and so he passed away. And I made the decision as a mom and as a single mom on my own to stay in New Zealand so that the kids would have consistency in terms of their environment and what they were used to. But we did live in Australia for a period of time when he was getting some care. And so we were able to experience the amazing culture over there and the music. And one of the things he said to me when we were actually just still friends, we weren't together, he said, you know, the place that you need to go is Tamworth. And he told me about it, and he said, we've got to get you a special hat. You know, it was like this big, I think it's actually similar to the hat that I'm wearing in the picture that you have advertising the show. And he said, you know, that's one of the places. And it kind of always stuck in my mind. And then the opportunity came a few years ago to submit to be able to perform there. And I remember when they basically said, hey, you know, we're offering you a couple of spots here. It was such an amazing thing, because I knew that that was something, and he had already passed. He passed in 2016, but it was an opportunity to also honor that dream that he had for me to perform there. And that was really special. And then, you know, the following year I also performed there. And so that was really cool for a variety of reasons. Obviously performing in a place that's incredible, you know, everyone is there for the music. And I had never really performed at a festival before like that, so that was really cool. But also knowing that it was this kind of, yeah, this, I guess, sort of a future promise, you know, something that he saw that I was able to do in the future, which was really cool. And then I would say performing in Los Angeles was really incredible. Performing at Hotel Cafe, where, you know, some of the biggest names in the industry have performed and shared their music, that was really special. And I also got to perform at Muse Expo, which is an incredible music summit that's at Vizsla, an incredible, you know, music mentor of mine and many other people, such as Dido and a few of other people that are obviously in a completely different, you know, tier than I am. But he saw something in me, and it was really cool to be able to share my music with some industry folks. And then I would say the last place, not last, but the most incredible opportunity was performing as Lucille Ball in New York City. And that was a show that I was doing prior to moving to New Zealand. And that was an incredible experience. And, you know, I think it will always be something that I hold really near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
That I got to live in the city that was a dream of mine as a kid. And to be able to share, you know, music and dance and theater with people that were coming to admire this icon, which was Lucille Ball, and to be able to portray her was really special. So that's a long list. I hope you're all still awake.
Oh, I'm sure we are. But it's an incredible story. And as well, I do want to say I am sorry for your loss as well, because obviously, you know, when he told you about that great place, he knew that someday he might have thought, whenever it might have been, that you were going to be on that stage performing. So he saw the potential in you. And then, of course, when you went over to that other place as well, that other person also saw potential in you. And, you know, it's great to see where it's gone for you as well, which is quite good to see.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I kind of started out a little bit later than a lot of people, but it was, I'm really thankful to do what I love. And I think, you know, there have been a lot of losses in the last 8 years, you know, people that I really love and care about. The most recent one was my dad. And I think that it puts everything in perspective.
Yes.
You know, anyone that's tuning in to this, I think, that has experienced any sort of loss, and you know, and I think at a certain point in our life, grief takes many forms, and losing people that we care about is tremendously difficult, and nothing prepares us for it.
No.
And I think that's where things like talking to someone, you know, even if they're really far away, and having that connection of community, and then being able to have things in our lives like our faith and our friends and our and family members and music. You know, the healing power of music, that we can share so much joy in the melody and in the lyrics and sing them together. And I think it's something that is a real gift, and it's something that I appreciate now more than ever. I think because I, you know, that was something that my dad always believed in me. He was my biggest supporter, he and my mom, and he really believed in my songwriting. And so I'm really, really happy that the last song that I released was his favorite, and that was one that I had dedicated to him, having no idea that months later he would pass, and that's Time Machine. So I think it's something that's really special to be able to, yeah, just to celebrate those special moments that we have with people, whether they're, you know, in our lives currently or they've passed. Those legacies and memories, they never leave.
No, absolutely. And as you mentioned, Time Machine as well, great name for a fantastic song, and I guess in memory of your father as well. And it's great to see that, yes, he got the chance to hear it as well before suddenly passing away. So that's great to see that. And it's been very successful as well, that track. When you released it to the to your fans, did you expect the reaction it received?
No. I think I knew that I loved this song, and it had taken shape over a period of time, which sounds ironic a bit. It literally was in a time machine, this song. And I'm glad that you, I'm glad I'm laughing now, because I was starting to, I was like, uh-oh, I'm about to ugly cry about my dad.
Well, if you did so that, you then you become the first ever person to cry on this show in a good way. Another history, but I like, so feel free to about it.
Yes, I just, I don't want anyone to forget this show.
History making, I like it, in a good way as well.
I did not know that people were. It's one of those songs that, sorry.
No, you're fine.
When I came up with the bridge for the song, so I didn't write the music aspect of the song. That was actually done by Dan Antonovich, who's a brilliant songwriter and producer, and we've collaborated quite a lot. But he had this track, which was, you know, Time Machine, and it was kind of what you're hearing now, but slightly different. But there were no lyrics, and there was no melody line for, you know, a singer to use and to do. And the words came really, really quickly. Actually, my dad was driving through the mountains of Oregon. I was, Tony had passed away about 6 months prior, and I was in Oregon with my mom and dad, and we were just driving through the snowy mountains, and it was about Christmas time, and I had the music playing in my ear pods, and I was listening to it over and over again, and the words just came really quickly. But the part where the bridge, you know, lay down your weapons, let's go and hug it out, I cried when I wrote that, and I had no idea. So this was in 2016. I didn't know what that meant right at the time. And then obviously years later, COVID, people fighting, people arguing with each other online, there was just so much heartache. And when I released that song, I really felt like this is the right time. I felt like, you know, it was special to me. It was special to my heart. My dad loved it. But I didn't know if anyone else would necessarily relate to the words about, you know, like if we could go back in time and love one another, and if we could not hurt one another, like what would that look like? I didn't know that that was something that other people felt as well. And so it was really incredible hearing from people and hearing their stories. People share their stories with me a lot. And I find that really special, and that they would be vulnerable enough to reach out and write me a message. And so, yeah, I had no idea. I just believed in the song for a few years before I, you know, decided to finish it, because we had finished the, you know, there's like some melodic lines that are going on in the background. So I was just singing with myself from the past. So that was pretty incredible. But yeah, I haven't released anything after this song, because I felt this radiant love that I knew was hard to top. And I felt that there wasn't another song that was ready, that was going to have, that was going to meet the people that were listening to the song, that were responding. They deserved follow-up, you know, they deserve. And I think I have that song actually, but yeah, that'll be for later this year. But I think it's really, really special to know that people wanted to know that they were loved, and wanted to know that they were important, and they wanted to feel inspired. And that is something that is really special. And I think music has that beautiful heart to be able to do.
Absolutely, completely agree with you there. And I want to say as well, because it was like, as you say, people are opening up to you about their stories of loss and great memories they have with their loved ones and other people they may have, you know, lost as well. And it's because of the fact that you're quite open and quite, you know, relatable, and they trust you with their stories to tell you, and hope to get a response. And you always do respond to your fans and your support base, and it's great to see that. And because you know, there's many people out there who they look up to, and they don't always get that response or that tribute, so they can relate to you a lot more than other people they might follow or interact with.
I really appreciate your kind words. It's really nice that we can all connect together and to be able to encourage one another. You know, I think And I certainly have reached out to people that I admire, you know, and I don't always get a response either, you know, and I think that people do get busy and it's yeah, it's quite interesting being able to see it on both sides, you know, and to remember that everyone has a purpose, everyone has a gift, everyone has something really special about them, every single person in the world. And to be able to remember that and to encourage that is really, yeah, it's something that we can get better at with time and practicing to be able to see those people the way that God sees them. And it's so important. And it makes life so much more interesting because we're all so different, right? We all come from different stories and different backgrounds, and yet we're converging on this great highway of life. And that's so exciting to me. Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that we're not all alone in the world. We're
No.
not just by ourselves. That would be
No.
incredibly boring and sad.
It would be, but I guess because of how good technology is nowadays as well, it makes it even more super connected, able to connect more easily. Than 20, 30 years ago, where I guess you gotta write letters and other means of communication than now view via, you know, social media and through the powers of like Skype and Zoom and etc. as well, and meetings, you know, like Microsoft Teams, etc. So it's a lot more easier to connect with people nowadays and compared to 20, 30 years ago, where it was a lot harder, and where you were probably feel more alone out there than they are nowadays. So there is a lot of positives and, of course, negatives from the
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yeah, I think that the accessibility to everyone around the globe has never been faster. But deep connections are things that happen over time and take effort. And so that's where things that are really special, like postcards and writing letters and calling people, are things that I think we're probably kind of going back to. You know, I think there's a nostalgia for simpler things in life, and really, you know, I think you said it best. You know, it really is great that we live in this time where people can connect so quickly, and I also think on the other side of things, you know, that not everything is a remote press on or off. That there's that longing that people have to connect with other people in a deeper way, and that can really only happen, you know, in the ways we talked about. So I think that's something that we can encourage our viewers today, you know, that maybe there's a special someone that you've lost contact with, or a loved one that that you need to forgive and reach out to today, you know, or tonight. Just to remember that there's sometimes we get little nudges, you know, little messages from crazy Americans such as myself that might mention it. But yeah, I think being able to remind people that they're loved is something that we will never regret.
No, absolutely not. So, throughout the show as well, we've been plugging your social media across the bottom of the screen. Of course, your viewers and my viewers would have seen that. And in case you didn't know where you can find my guest, Emmy, on, you can get her on Facebook. You can see there, facebook.com/EmmyLentino, and then also on X, even though you've not really posted much on X. You are active on there. I've seen you have liked some things in the past few days, and you're more active, I guess you're very active on Facebook and Instagram the most, I would say. I could be wrong, but you can see Emmy Leninto there as well. But I do appreciate you as well, because when we were emailing as well, and then out of the blue I got a follow from you, so that's quite nice, because usually I follow my guests when I announce that you're on the show. So it was quite lovely to get the when I'm on Instagram app after we emailed, actually. And I went on Instagram, and then about went on Instagram after I sent you my response, I saw a follow request from you. So I thought, that's very nice of you. So I did follow you back. But
Oh
usually,
yeah, no,
usually don't do
thank
that.
you.
So,
It's always sad when you make the you follow and you're like, oh, Maybe there's something wrong with it.
So usually I follow my guests first after I announce them on the show, whatever. So it was quite nice that they were around for us. So I do like that. It was a good surprise. I think it was like 6 o'clock in the morning my time, so it was quite a nice surprise to wake up to. So to have you part of my my following. So I do hope you enjoy what you see from my. For my social media and vice versa as well, But what are your goals then for this year? Now you mentioned you teased it a few minutes ago about new music coming out possibly this year. So I guess that might be one of your goals. What other goals have you got in mind for 2024 you want to accomplish?
I think one of the biggest things I want to accomplish is to define more of the message and the sound that I have for this next chapter. And why I say that is, you know, I think that we're always evolving as people, and especially if you are in the music industry, you're evolving your sound and redefining what that means. And so that's something that I'm on a mission to do that. And I think that you know, the message of hope and love has and my faith has been a big kind of cornerstone of my sound thus far, but I can see that it's getting to be even bigger in what and I think probably losing my dad has been a huge driver of that. And I think being able to perform again is something that I would really love to do. I haven't done a lot of that in the last few years, you know, little sprinkles here and there, but it's something that I would love to do more of, and to be able to travel and do that. So yeah, just kind of in talks about some different things over in Australia. I know Paul is saying the UK and so there's So Paul and Edward are saying UK, Brad is probably saying South Carolina, but there's places that, you know, it's great to go where people want you to be, you know, where you're like, hey, if I sing here, if I perform here, you know, will people come? You know, that's always a big thing. So I think, yeah, just singing and being able to connect with people in that way that music does have that power to do is something that I also is another goal. And I think songwriting is probably, and I should have said that, I mentioned that first. I think songwriting, growing in my songwriting and really stretching myself in terms of how I write and being disciplined with that is something that I would love to see huge improvements in. You know, I think that's something I'm quite excited about. So I guess it's a lot of growing, a lot of just being open to what it is that I'm meant to do. And I'm not in a race at all, so I've got to do this by this time. I think for me it's very organic. I did the fast-paced thing, you know, when Tony passed, I was in grief. Mm-hmm. And I plunged into trying to, you know, get it back into music. And I did lots and lots of shows and lots of releases. And honestly, I became really tired because I was, you know, I wasn't processing the stuff.
No, you were just focusing on keeping busy and trying not to think about the grief.
Yeah.
And as how busy as possible.
Yeah, I really was. And I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? Yeah. We do those things. I had also very young children. Mm. And I was trying to, you know, make things very light and positive for them. And so I think now, you know, almost 8 years later, it's been this process of, wow, you know, I love singing and I love writing music. But what is it that I'm really meant to do with this? And how am I best to serve the people that are in my life that I either knew and are about to know. Mm. And that's my focus. And so that gives me a real peace, because it's not about achieving a certain thing or being popular around this or having this many listeners. For me now, honestly, it's like if all of that got taken away and I just had my voice and I just, you know, that I would be thankful for that. So that's a really nice feeling, because I think that all of us want to be loved and we all want people to, you know, to like what we're doing. But if that's our driving force, then it can be a real letdown and it's not really sustainable. No. So I want to do this, you know, when I'm in my hundreds.
Yes.
And And I think the only way I can do that is by really working hard and singing from the heart and putting out music that I feel I can stand by for, you know, years and years and years to come. So that's where my focus is. And thank you for asking me that, because I think sometimes I don't know what the answer will be at all. Or
well and just that's to prove the beauty is
unscripted.
Exactly. That's what proved that this show is, number one, unscripted and unedited. Yeah. I don't like to edit my shows because I don't want to cut something out, as my guests might not want it to be edited. So that's why I do this one shot, one take. And the other thing about unscripted is because I like to, you know, my people ask me all the time when they come on the show, oh, can you send me a list of questions you're going to ask me? I'm like, well, I can't really, because I don't know what I'm going to say to you until it happens. Because I can give you one question, and that's about about, you know, your life in New Zealand, and then it just goes from there. You know, and something I said to me the other day, that someone said to me, who I know, a colleague I work with in a company, he said to me that you think of the thing in your head and then you just come out of it straight away. Exactly right. It just comes to my mind as we're speaking. It's not pre-prep. I do think of a few things beforehand by putting the YouTube comment, but sometimes I don't even get to it, or it's because we've talked something completely different, or I just went out of time with two guests. So this is how I work. So I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's I'm the same way though. You know, I think that I don't. I'd love to be smoother.
Yeah.
I would love to be more eloquent.
Yes.
But I'm just me, and I've come to at my mature age, I've come to just appreciate that this is just how I am. I'm a little bit zany, a little bit colorful, quirky, and it's good. It feels good to kind of embrace who we are, doesn't it?
It does.
It just happens to be that we're on tape.
yes, on tape, and it's live. It's even better. Love. But I got to say though, someone said the other day on my show about me being persistent as well. You know, like, you know, I just keep reaching out to people and just being, you know, on them until they give me the response I want, basically, apparently. So don't know how true that is, but I mean, you know, it's just great, because it's just like, you know, it's just like a casual conversation, and that's what I try to bring. So of course you do lots of different interviews, so hopefully this has been a completely wild time so far compared to the other interviews you may be, you know, conducting and everything like that about your career so far.
Thank you. No, it's been really fun. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. It kind of feels like we're having a coffee in our living room or something.
Great.
which is really lovely.
Yes,
so I really appreciate it. And I also want to say thank you to your, you know, your listeners and the people that have subscribed to your channel and are a part of the Edward family. Just hello and thank you very much for being a part of this time with us tonight. And it's just awesome.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah, I thank you for your time as well. And I want to know as well, just curiosity, what time is it over there at the moment in New Zealand?
It's not super early. It's 9:44 in the morning Friday.
Oh, that's not too bad.
When
you said to me I could do 8 o'clock your time, I thinking, well, I hope that's not too early for you. I feel a bit guilty if it was like,
before
it might be like 4 o'clock in the morning or something.
No, but so funny, I used to do a lot of things like at 3 or 4 in the morning, especially over in the UK or even in America. That was something, you know, and now I try to be a little bit more
flexible.
I try to go, is this, because, you know, obviously the kids are sleeping, the dog's sleeping, and then I would get these little in the background. I'd say, Jazzy. So it's good. The kids are off to school, and I can, I can hang out with you and say it's evening time. It sounds very fancy.
yes, on Thursday night, unless it's like Friday morning for you. Now, I know in 15 minutes you were going on the airwaves, and I have to say as well, because not only are you a singer and songwriter, but you're also like a, you know, as you say, a presenter, and also a kind of an actor as well, aren't you? So it's like you do all the trades, basically. That there's nothing you don't do, which is great to see.
Thank you. I really enjoy getting a chance to try different things and to work hard. And really, it's the people. It's, you know, we get to connect with people in whatever work we do, and it's so fun. Like I said, I would be so sad and bored if it was just me.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to be able to help tell people's stories and listen to them and encourage them and be encouraged by them. You know, I'm encouraged by you on your show and by the tenacity and the drive that you have for sharing stories and sharing what you love. And I think that that's something that is so cool and something I really admire. So
Thank
yeah,
you.
it's fun. Yeah,
It
no, I
is
mean
fun.
it. It's
It
really
is fun.
cool.
And because again, on this show, this is really a topic I don't cover. I do, of course, music, I cover, obviously singers, obviously. I do
Yeah.
MMA fighters. I do a bit of sport with
Nice.
wrestlers. I do a bit of magicians, a bit of comedians. I cover pretty much anything and everything. Which
Wow.
is like,
Yeah.
like mind blowing. Like, how can you discuss all these different topics? It's like, well, I can, and I do. So I try my best.
That's awesome. Well, there might have to be a time where we'll have to get like just maybe like three guests on. We can be, it's like a round,
Yeah, I
the
like
Edward
it.
Fowler round show.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that'd be quite a day to do. I'd be up for that. I'd be all right for definitely. What are is there anybody as well in because you're a presenter now. I'm guessing I could be completely wrong here, but I want to say you present a radio show of some sort. Because I know you do. Well, you have done a bit of radio presenting previously, but I don't know if you are doing that right now. But if you are, very cool. I've always wanted to do that, but I've had no responses from people where I live at the moment. So I've always wanted to do that as well. I've done online radioing, but it'd be quite good to do it in an actual studio. It'd be quite fun to do that, I think.
Well, what I do is I have done it in studios around, but it's something that I can do from my home
Oh,
base
that's cool.
because it's a Nashville-based show, but obviously I'm a co-host of it, and
That's
so
quite cool.
it's really an incredible opportunity. I've been working with them since 2019. They're also a nonprofit, and they, you know, give back in immense ways with their
Yeah.
charities. And it's really nice to be a part of people and a community that loves to help others. And so it's something that I really enjoy. And yeah, and it's nice to just kind of have that, well, you know, it's so nice to be able to do something that you really love
Yeah.
and to learn. You know, every time I'm interviewing someone, I learn something new about them, about myself, about how to connect better, about how to listen better. And that's something that I'm, you know, going back to the goals, I really want to become a better listener and an active listener, someone that, you know, just fully, you know, like fully is submerged in the
Yeah.
listening and then takes a moment and responds. I've known a few people like that and I really admire them. And so that's something that I would like to get better at, not maybe not being so hyper to respond.
Well, we're all learning.
Oh,
We always
Edward.
learn. We
Oh,
always
Edward,
learn.
I'm growing up. I'm growing up.
Well, we always learn. Yeah, and I think the saying is, if you don't learn something new, then you're in the wrong job, aren't you? So I
Yeah,
mean, it's always
true.
good to learn something new every day. And I'm sure you do every single day of the week when you're doing music, doing a show on a radio. Or even with your children as well. So you're probably learning
Oh yeah,
three
lots.
times
So
in one day.
lots.
Like,
Lots as a mother. Yes,
tongue
you learn lots as a
twisting.
mama.
Yes, indeed. So what is the name of the station you are co-hosting at? Because hopefully people can
Yeah.
listen in and maybe check you out after this today.
Awesome. Thank you. So it's called Heart of Indie Radio and it's based in Nashville, but it's broadcast over nine countries and beyond. And then the organization that actually kind of runs everything is called Hands of Grace hyphen Ray of Light, and they've got amazing programs to help young people with suicide prevention, kindness, and anti-bullying, as well as music education program through Sax Academy. And they actually, you know, are actively giving away money to individuals who are pursuing music as in music education, and that's something that's incredible to be a part of too. to see these young people and older people. You know, yeah. It just depends on where they are in their path. But to get these music scholarships and to see, you know, what they're doing with their lives is something that's just incredible. So yeah, tune in. We're every Friday night. It's the Memphis show, and that's with Avery and Eddie. And then we've got Saturday night, the Nashville show, and that's with Eddie and Emmy, as well as the European show. And then on Sunday mornings, it's a time of fellowship with Love Journey. So there's lots of different things that we're doing. And I correct myself. It's not the European show. It's called Journey Studio. The name was changed. So I apologize, everyone that's listening that knows that's wrong, but yeah, Journey Studio. So that's like really cool, like pop and EDM music. And, you know, it's just nice to kind of have lots of different genres of music and to know that people are tuning in and having a good time. You know, we're a bit zany, the two of us together, Eddie and Emmy. So, yeah.
No, thank you for the plugs, and hopefully we can listen to that and check it out. And if you don't, then you can be squared. Can't say any fairer
You're
like.
Chastising people, Edward.
Well, someone said to me today that I had a guest on also from America who's actually living in Spain at the moment, and he said he came to the UK, and he said that he went to. He said Cambridge, but he didn't say Cambridge. He said it in a different way than how we pronounce it. So I corrected him by saying about, do you mean Cambridge? Because the way he said it, I never heard of before. So a colleague of mine in the place I work said that you'd like to insult your guests on your show as well. you might make fun of it. Like, because I said, do you mean Cambridge? He said, oh, I do, yes. I said, well, I never heard of that other word that you said. So, yes. I do have a bit of fun with my guests. You know, I have a bit of fun with my guests. I have a bit of fun with my audience. So this is
where we're bringing it full circle, and we're saying, see, every day we learn something new.
Yes. About one another, isn't it, as well? But I do have two more questions for you, and then we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
So the one is about, of course, many moons ago, you did get to, you know, work with George Michael, about the backing vocals for his Last Christmas song. How cool was that to be involved with?
Amazing. So George Michael's spirit was definitely present in our time together with his incredible backing vocalists. That each and every one of them have their own thriving careers, amazing people. So it was really incredible, and it still is one of those things that, yeah, London is an incredible place to be, and the energy that's felt there. Gosh, I wish I would have said that would have been on my list of places that was amazing to perform. But
yeah, because I'm thinking after. Yeah, I'm sure you'd have mentioned the UK. But
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you I wasn't prepared, because no. I didn't have like my
script.
I didn't go, oh, okay, did I say that in India? So, yeah, London, incredible, incredible people, you know, Shirley, D. Lewis, Joe, and Jay. They're all amazing people, and they really took me under their wing. You know, they had been in the industry and they'd seen it all. Obviously, they toured with people such as George Michael that are iconic. And I was just kind of a nobody I just was an independent artist that wanted to sing with them, and they said yes. What? So I still say that. I'm like, are you sure that happened? So I sang with them in the studio, got to harmonize with them, and it was an amazing experience, and still is the most incredible studio experience that I've ever had, hands down. Hands down, the most incredible experience, and very humbling, because I think it had been one of those things that, you know, you kind of never think it would ever happen. And then when it did, they were just so gracious and so kind that it was really like a lesson in humility, and a lesson in, no matter how far you've gone in your career, to be that like open to working with someone that obviously hadn't done as much or at all. but I think that the work ethic, you know, was there, and that something that we really connected, you know, with, and having lost someone that we really cared about too, was something that was really Yeah, it was quite special to be able to share in that kind of feeling with them. So that was incredible. And Al Clay is an amazing producer. So I was able to work with him. He actually recorded us in the studio, and as well as recording another song with me, which was really was yeah, it was special. And so I'd love to go back. I'd love to go back and record and sing again in London. I think it's yeah, it's just a magical place. And I need to go to the West End and watch some great shows as well. That didn't happen last time. There wasn't enough time. But yeah, definitely when I go back at this, I love theater, big
Yes.
theater lover. So
Well,
yes.
you have to make time for that for sure. Next time you're in, you're in town. And my last question to you on this lovely evening, last morning, is who are you wanting to collaborate with this year? Is there anybody in particular you would like to team up with? Maybe not even in music. Maybe it's to do with radioing or other projects you may have in the works.
Oh my goodness. So for singing, it's been a long time dream to work with Sarah McLachlan. She's somebody that I greatly admire as a vocalist and as a songwriter. And her song Angel was, I think, one of the most influential songs that I came across as a young person and as a young songwriter. And so Sarah McLachlan, and then I think I've always wanted to work with Matt Carney.
Okay.
He's actually from Oregon. What did he say that song he came out with in like 2005 or 6 was, Kid from Oregon. And then he made his way to California. And I think now he lives in Nashville. But he's an incredibly clever songwriter, and I love his voice. So I would love to work with him. And Katie Nicole, who's an incredible artist. She just sings from the heart. And she's just, yeah. Those three would be amazing. And I don't know. I mean, I think I am always coming across like projects or people that are really inspiring. And I think I really need to write that name down. So I'm just going to put it out there that, yeah, I think that something is going to happen this year that's going to probably surprise me and blow my mind. And I'm excited for that. And I don't know what it is, but I'm ready. I'm preparing.
Good. And I can't wait to see all your adventures in 2024 on your social media. Which I will flag up just one more time, just in case people might have saw it. But if you are watching on YouTube and you can see it throughout the show, my guests' social media is on Facebook, X, and Instagram, the three main places. Of course, you can check them out on YouTube, Spotify, and wherever else you may get your music from as well. It's been a pleasure having you on
Thank you.
my little show out of Manchester, UK. I hope that you've enjoyed our conversation, and I hope that it was up to the same standards from the samples I sent you via email the other week. And what made you to accept the invite? Was it from those samples I sent
Oh.
you, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I knew that I knew that you were someone that was like kind and respectful to your guests, and you asked interesting questions, and yeah, I mean, I think it was probably all those things, and you were so kind in your email initially to me. I think that that's something that I really appreciate. You were very, yeah, you were just lovely, and I was like, oh, what a lovely person.
Thank
It's
you.
very of course I would love to chat with him.
Yes, great.
And I love your accent as well. I won't lie. I love the accent.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, you're speaking to a Mancunian, unfortunately not a Cockney, but yes. But thank you for the kind words, and I hope that I was respectful and friendly. I hope I came across like that during the course of our great conversation this evening.
Thank you, absolutely, and thanks again to everyone that's tuning in and being a part of this. And if you want to have my music and actually own it, you can download it off of my website, which is just emmylentino.com. A lot more of my music will be available on that website. It's just something that, as an independent artist, as I'm sure everyone understands, with streaming and whatnot, it's just kind of Yeah, it can be challenging with distributors and stuff. So I'm trying to have my music and merchandise all available on my website. And yeah, so check it out, emmylentino.com. That
Yes,
would mean a lot.
dot com indeed.
.com.
Fabulous. And that was my interview there with Emmy. What a great person, and very honest and down to earth, and we like to bring the very best out in people on this show. I hope you all enjoyed listening to that, and I hope I will see you all listening in the next episode, where it'll be another flashback episode coming out on your favorite platforms on Friday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your morning, night, evening, or afternoon.
You've been listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to get new and flashback episodes every week. More on Facebook and Instagram at Edward Fowler Show and edwardfowlershow.com.